episode. I don't have one this week. It's late. I was supposed to have one every Tuesday, and I'm late this week because I was doing a bunch of shit. Yeah. What's going on? Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollebach. I just popped this on Red Beam real fast.
I know, dude.
He just sat down. I was like, hey, let's do a podcast.
I'm trying to chill.
Just trying to chill. We're at Comedy Gumbo. There's
Comedy Gumbo doing the damn
Howlin' Wolf. How long you been doing Comedy Gumbo here at the Howlin' Wolf?
Well, we are going on our fifth year.
That's cool. Let's get a picture for the episode. Look all sexy. Cool.
Fifth year? Going on our fifth year. Yeah, we've been doing it for a minute. And, you know.
And you're at like 18 years in, or how many years you got doing stand-up? How long you been doing stand-up?
I've been doing it about 15 years. 15? You know, like legitimately.
And it's all been in New Orleans?
No, you tour. You know, you go on the road, you know. Different venues. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start out, of course, you're starting out as an open mic or...
Hello.
Hey, what's up, man?
Not a lot. Do either of you know where I would sign up for the open mic tonight?
Talk to this guy, Red Beam, right here.
Hi, Red Beam.
Hey, what's up, big dog?
My name is Brian Fox. I'm a comedian from Gainesville, Florida.
Oh, for sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, we start about 8:30, so, you know, come roll up in there.
Cool.
I don't know why you got them beads on. But
oh, right. Sorry. We're all vacationing and shit. I'm like...
About to get mugged and shit.
Yeah, I know. My
your iPhone
my friends 4. Gave them to me and shit, so...
Yeah. But yeah.
I was hoping to charge up.
You got some people that are going to roll through? Or just
hopefully,
That's what's up. How long you been doing it?
A few years, like 4.
Okay, cool. We got you.
What's up, Eric?
Nice to meet you, Eric.
Yeah, he's not going up at all.
What the fuck? We're being disrespectful. I was the first year.
Yeah, I know. You're the first year. You're
going getting bummed to the end. Bummed to the end.
I thought that was John Rowe. What was that? Am I racist?
I thought the same thing from a distance. But right. Normally John Rowe comes in when he rolls in. He went in La Nui the other day. He fucking Tokyo Drifter around the corner. Uh-huh. Got in an argument with the bartender there at La Nui.
Yeah, crazy. He's done.
No, he's... But first roast battle. You saw the roast battle. The first roast battle show.
I saw it. It's interesting.
Well, I'm recording, by the way. I'm recording a podcast with this guy.
No, you can talk.
Oh,
it's
no,
all
it's
good.
Okay.
Yeah, let me get out of here.
All right, we'll hit you up in a minute.
Yeah.
I just didn't want it to seem strange.
Yeah.
What?
You're famous around here. Look.
Don't whip it. Don't do it.
Who is that guy?
I have no idea.
He knows you. He's just one of your fans?
Probably.
Ah.
I have no idea. Then they had a Texas license plate. So anyway, you get on the road. I mean, that's how you cut your teeth, you know?
Like, and what do you do? You just call the clubs and be like, yo, I'm going to be here at this time. Book me and shit. Are you doing that?
You wish it was that easy.
How does it happen?
I mean, it changes. Like, back when I kind of got out, I mean, they didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Twitter. Or they didn't even have MySpace back then. So you had to send in a fucking VHS tape to a club owner. You know, with your bio and in hopes that you could get, you know, a 7-minute guest set. Like a lot of the old school cats, you know. Like the guy that got, you know, like my house club, my home club would be the Comedy Showcase all the way in Houston because we don't have a club here. Mm. Like we had one in Baton Rouge, but it really wasn't a club that was affiliated with a whole lot. But this guy, Danny Martinez, old school, he would not put you up unless he saw you. Okay, he couldn't send in the tape.
So you just had to roll through and do the open mic for him? Kind of audition for the club?
Open mic. Like, he gave you an opportunity to do a guest set.
Oh, I see.
7 minutes. And most of the clubs are still run like that. Legitimate comedy club that are around the country. Stardom in Birmingham. Then you got Laugh. I think they closed. Last stop might have closed in Houston.
But that's how it was in Flappers in Burbank. You know, you just kind of like do the audition thing and then come out.
Right.
Some
but a lot of those old cats are still running these clubs. So you have some progressive people that'll like, okay, you can send us a video. But some of the old cats, they don't even have email. They're like, I don't know.
Right.
They just, they're not feeling it. So you have to literally go out there and get it in. And they ain't give a fuck about open mic. They wanted to know how professional you were. Because, I mean, if they gave you 7, you did 7. You did 701, you wouldn't get booked. You did 655, you wouldn't get booked.
What?
Well, I'm being a little bit...
But if you went over, they'd lose their minds.
Yeah, because it's a business.
Yeah.
And, you know. So, yeah, man, did Vegas, New York. Did you know, the local Birmingham, Atlanta, Houston.
And you've always been based out of New Orleans when you would go, or would
oh,
you
yeah,
were
oh,
you
yeah.
you lived in different places?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. And you know, it's about that grind. But the thing is that things are constantly changing. Like Dane Cook and Sarah Silverman, they change the game, because I don't know if you know anything about Dane Cook, whether or not
it's
you
all
think
on,
he's funny
MySpace.
Or not funny.
Yeah.
But I mean, he would literally every show talk to damn near everybody at the show, shake their hand, get their information, put them in his digital media piece.
Yeah.
And you know, every time he come back, he'd hit him up, to where he was selling out arenas, you know, like breaking records and shit. So now, you know, it could be seen that people not even worried about if you're funny. How many asses can you put in the seats? How can I make some money?
Now, also it's weird because it's like, oh, you got 8 million Twitter followers. But, you know, it could be some starlet on one show that nobody sees who has her PR company, like, bulk buy Twitter followers that are just, like, inactive robots that just, like, you
right.
know, follow.
I mean, people can get caught up in that, but, I mean, it's only going to happen once because, you know, I don't know if you ever heard the old saying, you'll never work in this town again.
Right.
Because everybody knows everybody.
Right.
So you might burn one person with your 8 million fake-ass Twitter followers, and you like, dude, I got 8 million followers, then you go do a show,
and nobody shows up.
Nobody shows up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And there's ways to check that out. Like, if you buy, like, a lot of Facebook shit.
You don't think you have like, work to do?
Facebook likes. I am working.
You come late.
I'm doing a podcast.
Hey.
But you got a lot of Facebook likes, like, you bought them, and let's say they all bots.
Yeah.
But then you post something and you ain't getting but 3 likes, but you got 10,000.
Right.
The math doesn't work.
Right.
So there's ways to.
There's like an algorithm so people can know like how many bots
you got.
It's
not even an algorithm. You just got to look at it.
It's
common sense.
Yeah.
You got 3 likes and you got 10,000 followers. I mean, that is a significant depreciation of followers.
Yeah, I'm always blown away how many more apps you know than me. As soon as a new piece of technology comes out, you're on it, like,
on
right
it.
Away.
That's what I do. You know, comedy ain't paying all the bills.
Right.
I do social marketing, social media marketing. I'm a photographer, graphic designer, web designer.
I didn't know all those hats you're wearing.
Yes.
I thought you were just a photographer and a comic. So what, you help out social media campaigns for people too?
Oh yeah.
Is that why how you know those phone guys that you were talking to? Are you helping them promote their
movie
last week?
Yeah, they put me in a movie because I do movies as well. So I was working on a movie called Grudge Match, and this guy,
I know that movie.
He was my AD.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I told him some of the things that I did. And
you hang out with Joey Coco at all? Did I ask you about that?
I don't know who Joey Coco is.
Joey Diaz?
No, I didn't.
He's that comic. He was in that movie.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I mean, was he in it?
He was in it. He was De Niro's trainer.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I think I auditioned for that role. But I got Sylvester Stallone's best friend.
Oh, okay.
So, I was good. And
So how did you get that? There was an audition process here?
Well, funny thing is, that's why I always tell you guys to make sure that y'all handle y'all business, because you never know who's in the audience. But they had casting directors that were actually coming out to comedy because they were looking for a comedian. So they had casting directors that, and this has happened so many times, that a casting director would show up at a show,
right,
and be like, I need him in, or I need him to at least audition.
Right, right.
And so they asked me to audition. They went on my website, sent me an email. Then they contacted my agent, and they were like, we need you to audition. And they said, I don't know, I got it, so it don't matter. But they said that I beat out some of the L.A. actors for the part, so that was pretty cool. I had five scenes with Stallone.
Well, you're fucking cool. Cutting your teeth here every week, doing, getting your time in, being professional. One thing I really am interested in, you know that, like, fucking California's running out of water, you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think in a year from now, if the taps go dry in California, how many fucking people do you think are going to move to New Orleans overnight?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I don't know about Californians moving to New Orleans. I mean, there are the states that are along the way.
But I mean, but Los actors, Angeles. Yeah, how many people are
there? They're already doing that.
Yeah, but I think
tons of actors that were once living in LA,
mm-hmm,
with a high cost of living,
mm-hmm,
and the work. Now there's Louisiana with the low cost of living and more work than LA.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of those guys that are living here now. I mean, if you look at any of the statistics from the last 2 years, New Orleans or Louisiana has put out more films than Hollywood in California.
Really?
Because of the tax breaks, because of whatever.
I'm just saying, like, overnight, like, it could be, like, a million people. Like, think about the options. You got Austin, maybe. You got New York City, for sure. But then New Orleans is, you know, Vegas, but I mean, Vegas is fucked too water-wise.
Look around. Look at everything that's coming up now.
Yeah.
Like, that's high-rise, not high-rises, but a lot of condominiums.
Yeah, yeah.
All the little closed, beat-up warehouses that were blighted for years are now being turned into condos. I mean, I can say it. Gentrification is real. White people coming back.
I moved here. I don't know if I'm taking up anybody's space.
I don't know if you're white, though, but I'm talking about real white people.
What do you mean? Oh, because I'm not, I'm like direct with people?
No, just because you broke.
yeah, yeah.
Two paychecks away from homeless.
After my first Rose Battle show, I fucking paid out everybody. Now I'm going to be fucking homeless, dude.
Yeah.
But that was important for me, you know. Like, you know, I said to everybody, hey, this is how much I'm going to pay everybody. And then, you know, I'm not selling the tickets because I got overconfident that I was going to sell all the tickets. Whatever. We got to reassess.
Look, don't worry about reassessing. No, all you do is just keep grinding. Nobody needs to be worried about getting paid right now.
Yeah.
You know, you need to be pulling together people that you can work with. I mean, me and Carrie B been together for, shit, what, 10 years or more now. You know, because he started off comedy opening up for Sinbad. That was his first gig.
Oh, really?
He didn't even do an open mic.
Sinbad just grabbed? How did Sinbad grab you, Carrie B?
Just sent a tape.
You sent him a tape? Where'd you record that tape?
At this little cafe I was doing comedy.
A little coffee shop.
Oh, cool. Coffee shop.
But it wasn't an open mic.
Yeah.
I was performing with T-Ray and...
They don't know who T-Ray is.
Aldo.
They don't know Aldo.
I'm just saying, those
right.
That was the...
So his first gig was a 30-minute set opening for...
What, 10,000 people?
Yeah,
the same deal,
yeah.
Jesus.
It wasn't 10,000. It was the same whole...
Feel like 10,000 when you
had. And what it, so you had a half hour? Would you just tell stories or what'd you do?
He don't even remember.
I don't remember those jokes because I didn't have any jokes.
What'd you do?
You know, I just got up and talked.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to do the gig so bad. It was his manager, who also is his brother, called and said, yeah, we like the tape. We like what we saw. We want you to do 30 minutes tomorrow night.
How long was your tape? Like 3.5?
Might have been 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
You know, might have been 10 minutes.
And how long were you doing it at that time?
Huh?
How long were you doing it when you just got thrown in the fire like that?
He threw himself in the fire.
2 months?
About two months. Yeah.
Well, you know what? That was, and the thing was, I had no intention. It's like there's no way in hell Sinbad's going to pick me.
Right, right.
But it was like, why not?
You're the motherfucker that sent a VHS tape. You're the motherfucker, you know what I'm saying?
But from there, they had a guy in the audience who was a promoter for Ricky Smiley. So I did like two or three shows with Ricky Smiley. And then it's weird. In that audience, the guy who was a promoter doing Saturday Entertainer. So I did two shows with Saturday Entertainer.
Never did open mic.
Never been to a comedy club. Didn't have a clue. I just assumed that's how it was supposed to be. You know, you just get lucky.
Right. I don't
know. But two things worked in my favor. I used to sing. And so I was accustomed to
people staring at you.
Yeah, being on stage. Being on stage and everything like that. So that helped me. And I took theater at Tulane. So I just added theatrics to my performance.
Right.
And, you know, all knowing how to do stage blocking and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I just took that 10-minute set and figured out how I can bullshit myself.
So you just acted out more of the scenes in it and just, like, played characters and stuff.
Basically.
And then you have to understand, in a show like that, people came to laugh.
Right, yeah.
You didn't have to, and that's a big thing that a lot of people, I'm going to say you, because you're young. When I say young, I mean in comedy. I mean, if you listen to Jerry Seinfeld, he say you are your age in comedy as how long you've been doing comedy. But there is a science to it. You know, like, comedy has to be introduced into the room. You know, so once they knew that they were coming to a comedy show, it was like, okay, we already ready to laugh.
Right.
And especially, like, if you're a celebrity like Sinbad or something like that, so you already, they're going to laugh. I mean, they're going to be more forgiving. You know, but if you suck, you know, they're not gonna laugh. But so, you know, that's why I say, like, picking a venue. Like, a lot of times people might say, oh man, I got this great venue just because the bar owner said you can do comedy here. But there's a fucking bar, there's no stage, there's no.
They don't
want to
turn the TVs off.
Right, they don't
want to
turn the TVs
They're like, no, these guys are watching hockey.
Right, and then they're regulars. And their regulars are there.
Shooting pool.
Right, shooting pool.
Every noise,
or, in our case, all of it.
Right. All of it.
All of it at one time. That happened to us.
And, you know, so you gotta, you know, it's a science to it. Where how far the first chair is from the mic. Like, we did a show and in Mississippi, man, the first person was like 50 feet from us, so there wasn't that interaction.
You couldn't connect.
It needs to be as claustrophobic as possible. I think packed in small room.
Right.
What's up? I know this
not,
girl.
You see
she's here to
like,
do some comedy.
What's going on? Is that a sign up, or is it just
you talk to this guy?
We out here mobbing. Hey,
I don't know you.
It's okay.
It's Rebbing.
You gonna give me a hug?
I'm gonna be nice to you first because I went off on everybody when I first met them, so I'm gonna try something new. I'm rude.
Oh, okay. You hug him too.
Huh?
You can hug him too. He took his Viagra.
Would you like a hug? Sure. I don't know. You said Viagra. Nah. I'm not cute. I'm not extra cute today. I just got off work.
Yeah.
You were on the other. You came around before when fucking Jackie Jenkins Jr. was on the podcast. She came by and had a cameo too.
I did. Mm-hmm.
All right, we gotta go set up.
Yeah, I think you were a little belligerent. All right, thanks for being here. We'll continue this later. Hey, so I'm here with Kyle Smith and my favorite Scripper.
Scripper.
Lace. What's going on?
You heard
Lace.
No, that's how you label me. No, that's so bad.
She was at the...
I hate my life.
You met this Scripper one time probably on the fucking Ron DeWitt podcast with Jackie Jenkins.
For the first 8 hours of our Scripper
life. That's how I was labeled. Oh, my God. I'm so ashamed of myself.
Don't be ashamed of yourself. You labeled yourself like that. I'm busting your balls. It's cool. That's what we do. That's what we do.
She did it to herself.
I roast people.
She labeled herself.
You did say Scripper for
some. You labeled your goddamn self.
We're also chilling with Byron.
And be reasoning this bitch.
I'm having a mental breakdown right now.
We're outside. What else is new? We're outside the fucking column.
Oh, my God.
Comedy Gumbo, Howlin' Wolf and shit. It's hour 16 of this show. We're waiting for a spot.
I got here late, so I'm going on last.
Yeah. Shit, you going on after me, because I got here late, so good job. Shit.
If I even go on.
If you. That's what I'm saying.
Carrie B was like,
you got the eye and the abs. So you might not go on.
If you get one or the other, it's 50-50.
Yeah, if you get one or the other,
I got an and I did 5 minutes at the end.
Yeah, see, if you get both, you probably not going to go on. Like, I got from Terry Scott, I got all right, I'll put you down.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Name's not even on the list.
You didn't even get a sticker. No. He's like, yeah, we'll see.
I'm like, Red Bean, why can't I go on earlier? He's like, first joke out the gate is you have so much ass sex, girls, Dookie looks like your dick. I'm like, I'm trying to teach people about anatomy and what happened. Okay? Why am I being censored?
Why you gotta be censored?
Yeah, who cares? Isn't this a talking shit contest or something? Not what we're doing here.
I forgot the second thing I got censored for, but I got censored.
Yeah, you got censored here.
It was a panty telling joke. You go to the girls section of Walmart if you got like a daughter or something like that, and you gotta find panties for your child. It's just the whole creepo factor.
It wasn't that long.
I can't tell that anymore. It got into detail. It got into depth.
I'm labeled.
Fucking sucks.
I'm teasing you. It's cool.
Oh, my God. I'm going to start crying.
Don't
start
crying.
You better not cry.
That's the first time. I can't forget that, Lace. When I first met you, you were saying, I was a Scripper. It was funny.
For 8 hours.
I thought it was funny.
8 hours?
So that's what you said. So then that's what I said back.
8 hours.
And fuck you, man.
You don't know my shit. Fuck you, man.
Fuck you, mate.
You don't know my shit.
I'm a fucking awesome ass motherfucker.
Awesome.
Whatever. Hit that bitch! Hit him! I hate taxes! Motherfucker!
Oh, shit. That taxi's stopping. That taxi's stopping.
Fuck that taxi! Hit that bitch!
Why don't you like taxis?
Keep going.
Why don't you like taxis?
Huh?
Lace, why don't you like taxis?
They're evil ass motherfuckers.
What do you mean?
Evil cheeky people. I hate them.
Cheeky fucking taxi driver.
Like they drive extra slow for no reason. Like yeah. they find every reason to fuck some shit up. Oh. They make you wonder if your life is at risk or not.
Because if you die, they get out of red shit. You see, he pulled the fuck off.
He did pull over.
Yeah.
And then he just stopped and then he kept going.
You was about to get out of wreck shot.
I was like, you are a cheeky.
You would have probably, you would have probably witnessed something tonight.
I hate fucking taxi
You called
drivers.
It, Lace. You called it.
Because
you really hate the fucking.
Because I
Oh, check it
know.
Out. What it look like? What it look like? Eric's about to go check out what it looks like on stage.
Fuck what it looks like on stage.
He's still up there? Oh, he's doing 20 tonight, huh?
Oh.
Wow, does he have 20
I'm going to catch a little bit of his set. I'm going to go in.
They should
just
do a book show.
Does he have 20 in him? Is it 20? How long has he been? He's been up there for a minute, huh?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, a good time. Look at that guy. No neck, but still. I got enough confidence on my shoulders to get this bad bitch that's walking with me.
I'm the boss. This is a bounce night at the Republic down the street.
Good evening, how are you doing? We have a free comedy show. I love the smile.
He doesn't really?
You'd love to see it if you'd like to laugh some more. We have a free comedy show right there. No pressure. I'm just saying. Come back every Thursdays. It's here.
Okay.
You look very nice tonight also. You're welcome.
You're a charmer, Kyle.
Ain't I?
Look at that. Trying to bring people into the show.
Did you see her thighs? She is Asian. She should not have thighs like that. Oh, my God.
It's illegal here.
It is a little bit illegal.
So you got to register this with the fucking embassy.
She might have a boyfriend of ethnicity. any type. Just laid a payow on it. God. Look at this group.
How much is that street meat per pound?
Street meat? Why are you limping? You got jumped?
No, I got drunk last night.
Oh, you got drunk.
I had this girl with me, and I had a carrier in the house, and she's like,
what the fuck?
She fucking toppled me over and fucked my leg up.
Ah, you didn't land right.
No,
did
yeah,
you bend
like,
at the knees
was
before
she a
you
big girl?
Yeah, of course I bend at the knees.
You got to make sure you,
you
bend at the
with
knees.
Your legs. I know.
Yeah.
I do leg day.
Well, you okay, you did right then. What the hell?
I don't know, man. I woke up too.
You know what it is?
I had to put the pieces together. I don't even remember when it happened.
You had those shoes on? You had those shoes on? You just slipped your feet in those shoes, huh? You need to tie them goddamn shoes.
I rolled it. I went like I must have.
It has no support. I could see you rolling some shit.
Yeah.
Your shoe looks like the face of Charlie Brown when he's sad.
Speaking of rolls, how fat was this girl that broke your ankle? Because you tried to pick her up.
She was not that bad.
But she was pretty big. I took a big one home because I was drunk and sloppy. But not that drunk and sloppy.
I was pretty drunk
and sloppy enough to pick up a female.
Right. Like, right. I just, like, recently threw up, and I was like, I'm going to carry this girl.
Oh, and you just threw up. Okay, so you had enough strength to be like, rah! All right, I'm going to pick this chick up. Even though she's heavier than me, she's not bigger than me. I got it. See, that's what the fuck? You went up a step?
No, bro. I actually don't know. I don't have any memory of it.
But you were still like, fuck that. I got to come out tonight.
Yeah.
I still have to come out tonight.
You put her in the bed, and then you got him on a skateboard.
He's like running her across a balance beam.
I got to catch up with this man.
Man, it's going to take you so long to get that catch up.
I know, man.
God.
Three stationary.
So Cosmic. Kyle Smith, we had a kind of a dress rehearsal show.
Yeah, that was nice. I enjoyed that.
You're gonna be on the one on the 19th, the roast battle show. So now we're gonna
Coming back with a vengeance this time.
Okay.
I honestly understand that I shouldn't have won. That is understandable to me.
Right.
But
it was a controversial decision.
Your friend was just all on my dick that night, and he was like, "Ah, fuck that! I like that black penis. I gotta stick with that one." That one.
Jerry's
very
hard to predict.
It was
He's very crazy.
I was like, "Bitch, you gave me the prize. All right, cool. Don't let it go to the judges, nigga."
But do you feel like now that you did it one time, now you kind of understand the format a little better?
Yeah.
You kinda know
I'm going in next time.
Yeah.
I'm going in. Like, it's no holds barred.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a really good time. Like, the first time was really good. This time, I'm going to have a little same jokes. I'm going to come with some new shit that I know I can tell them.
Yo, Goku hair was hilarious, dude.
Yeah?
That outside.
Did you?
You killed me with Goku hair.
Okay, good. Yeah, that one was
and that's like about John Rowe.
Who's the contender this time?
It's a rematch.
Yeah.
It was controversial.
Very
Kyle
controversial.
Smith won it,
I
but
understand.
He felt like he didn't want it.
I felt like I didn't win. Like, towards the end, he started getting in there and getting in the groove and really getting laughs and shit. And I was like, oh, you bitch. All right, it's understandable that the chicks I fuck with.
I can see where the judge was coming from, though, because you had, like, your jokes were more formatted and, like, and roast style. John was kind of like just talking
about, hey, look, this is what you did. This is what happened with you in your life since I was staying at your house.
So I think that's what pushed it over on your side.
That's what I was thinking, too. But then I was like, oh, he got the crowd at the end. He got, you see that white girl right there? John would be all over her and her boyfriend inside, and he drunk as shit. But yeah, man, I would've, it's just because I won the crowd, that's all.
He's like totally scheming.
That's all.
See, if he has two more beers, I think I can figure something out.
Yeah. Oh.
What's up, baby?
Red Bean, what's happening?
Oh, nothing, though.
Let's continue. Oh, you know, we only got 20 minutes. These motherfuckers are normally like 50 at the men. Sometimes hour 20, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just out here
next
with Kyle Smith and Lace and stuff like this.
Next motherfucker.
I know.
What is that, a fit band? What do you got going on here? Is that a watch? What's happening?
I'm confused about the crowd. What's going
on
in there? TLC, I don't know where to go with anything.
All right.
Hey, what's up, Shawty McNaughton?
What's up?
Hey, what's up?
Shout out
Just have fun. Just
Lord.
You know what I mean? It's all about having fun. Letting
y'all labeled me as the stripper. I fucking hate y'all.
I want to be Sunday Lord.
I hate you.
Yeah,
I hate you.
Don't
Lord get that on record.
Yeah, please don't keep a grudge.
Yes, I will.
Well, I think you're entertained. I got you on the other podcast. You know, I could edit stuff out, but I kept it in because it was
cool.
I know it was funny.
You still got away from Eric.
It's real life shit. Okay.
What's up?
I said it's real life shit.
Exactly.
It should be so big. You got
I thought
drag.
He was talking about
anything about video
hearts.
Games.
No, he has
or
a key.
Sports.
He has
like
a key.
I'm a typical
Kingdom
girl.
Yeah, we're with it. We're with it.
I don't even pretend like I don't know about that shit. I just don't know shit about fucking sports.
RPG, that's what you fuck with.
I don't
you
see
fuck
the purpose
with RPGs.
Of sports.
I do, but it doesn't mean anything that
all sports like putting a ball in a hole. It's like who cares? Just a bunch of stuff happening. All right, what are y'all doing?
I went to the games for the liquor and the entertainment, and just to wear the clothes of the team that I'm supporting, which is i.e. the Saints or the Pelicans. I was so excited for the
Saints. Are you trying to like gold jersey with the players or something like that? You trying to get up on that?
You know, it was like that. You know,
that's not my lifestyle. That's not what I do. I've had the opportunity. Shit like that.
Yeah. Storyline's almost the same.
It look good, though.
Yeah, the graphics are good. You know what I'm saying?
I'm seeing my Pelicans games.
Oh, yes, I have been there. I have pictures on my Instagram. Oh,
I said you have been there. I said I haven't seen you.
Yeah, he. You know, no Carrie B's on the team? Yeah.
For real? What position you play?
I play the bench.
I'm quite sure you ride that bench,
he's
huh?
A good, he's a good spectator.
Yeah. I'm just getting some podcasts. I got to get some podcasts in Nature Boy and shit.
Ride it. Only thing I know about sports is I'm going to run down the court and I'm going to get the ball in the hole. The same thing men think about. Get the ball in the hole.
Football, you don't do
get
that.
Get the ball in the hole.
Get all the balls in the hole. That's interesting.
I got
like
I
whack-a-mole?
Split, maybe.
You go ahead and finish. You do your set and we'll see you back out.
Here with Red Bean, the show's over. The place is packed tonight, man.
Yeah, I don't know where people are coming from, but you know.
People were from everywhere. There was German people over here.
German, Boston.
Yo, did those people from Kentucky or whatever, did they get kicked out or did they leave?
No, they just left.
They just left. They were really, they were hammered and
they
heckling.
They were turnt. They weren't necessarily heckling. They were just loud.
Yeah. I'm not the best social networker, you know. I got multiple hustles.
If you're not on social.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that it has really leveled the playing field and fucked up the playing field as well.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you have some internet sensations, and I'm throwing up the quotes, that people just think are funny when they're just putting out shit. Mm. But they're fucking making millions doing Facebook.
Right.
I mean, doing YouTube.
And now, like, people call the club and be like, yo, I got 800 million. Twitter followers, but they're not necessarily real. They could be robot ones.
No, we talked about that already. But no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you'll have somebody that it'll be a guy. Let's say he's a large guy.
Right.
Then he'll put on a dress and lipstick and do like a Madea type, you know, situation. And, you know, the audience will be like, oh, this dude is hilarious. But in a real comedy setting, it's not hilarious, you know, but not everybody's educated on, you know, comedy, you know, like you have a different genre, I have a different genre, mm-hmm. But you'll have
what's
a guy
my genre?
Like that.
If you were to assess my genre, Ruby.
I couldn't tell you. I mean, there's mainstream, there's urban, there's alternative, there's blue collar, there's blue.
You
would be
in
blue
niche.
Alternative.
You can't put me in the niche. Oh, you know, I'm bluegrass reggae.
Who is it, Jim Norton?
Yeah,
you'd be with Jim Norton in that area, but you're
Dave
not Attell. As funny as him.
Well, I'm
Dave Attell.
These are my idols. And I saw them growing up, you know, it was like very transformative. You know, my dad would take me when I was like 15, 16 to the Comedy Store.
Okay.
And like I would watch like Dave Attell, Greg Giraldo, Mitch Hedberg, all these people like around 2002
both
and
of those
stuff like
dead.
That. I know.
Mitch Hedberg was a
fucking man.
Monster.
I saw him at Gotham and stuff. It was fucking great.
Monster.
And it really helped me, like, you know, inspired me.
Yeah. So, you know, and they've already paved the way for your brand of comedy. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, until people are coming to see you, you know, you just got to keep plugging and, you know, keep you know, playing to the club so that
yeah
people are coming to see you so that you're getting that foot in the door, getting that break, you know. But what I was saying about, you know, social media is that it's a vehicle that you can use to find your audience. I mean, right. you can do a quasi open mic, like what's his name was doing that just got picked up for The Daily Show.
Oh yeah,
Trevor Noah.
Yeah,
and you know, he was basically using Twitter as an open mic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
It's just, a comedy delivery system.
Hey, build your audience, work on a joke, or come up with a premise.
Yeah.
You know, but then you start to get people following you and retweeting you and stuff like that.
And there are people that deliver content different ways. Just bloggers get movies made and stuff. Like one Devil Wears Prada was some chick's blog of her life, you know. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, that would be a great movie.
Shit My Dad Says.
Yeah, yeah.
A failed TV show, but.
Yeah, I respect it. It's just.
Tumblr.
Yeah, yeah. So I got to get better at all that stuff, but
you just got to come up with a plan.
I got a podcast, so that's something. It's some kind of delivery system or something.
Yeah, but you know,
it's on iTunes.
You
got to
get people looking at it, listening to it.
You know, it's out there.
One day at a time.
Yeah, you know, I had a time traveler from Mars. His name was Andy Bishago. You know, he time traveled for DARPA. The Defense Authorization Research Project, and you know, he went to Mars, so that was a good episode. You know, so I'm you know,
all right,
sticking with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're a photographer,
graphic designer, web designer, actor, comedian.
This is Red Bean. He's one of a kind. He's at the host of Comedy Gumbo. Good guy. And, you know, that's another episode of the Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Thanks to my guest, Red Bean.
Holla.
Boom.